Praise God. Well, let's go before the Father. Amen. And, you know, I need to tell you this, that after Easter, after the resurrection, I started asking God for links, for scriptures for next year. So I've been collecting things for Christmas, for the resurrection, long before it comes. And God is doing something very unusual with me. He is, at the last minute, giving me what he wants me to say. Like when I come up here, I have nothing for prophecy. In the early days, he would give me the prophecy almost like, let's say Sunday was church. On Monday, he would start working on me about what he wanted me to say and what direction. And now he doesn't give me anything until I'm up here, because I really think he wants the Holy Spirit to speak to you directly. Amen. So this message hopefully is the same way, because it was very interesting, but I love it. I was on the verge of tears the whole week as I worked on it, because we all need to be reminded what happened on this very holy day. We lose track so easily. I'm a pastor, and I'm in church probably more than you all. And I love it, and I'm in the Word, and I hear the Word, and I talk to God all throughout my day. But we can lose track of something so powerful that God has done for us. Amen. So these days, these holy days, are not a religious thing for us. They are a reminder of what he did for us, lest we forget. Amen. Praise God. So Father, we just come before you right now in the name of Jesus, Father. May this message bless you, Father God. Pastor and I were talking yesterday, Father, and no matter who were to show up today, which I'm so happy, Father, for all the people that are here, Lord. But for us, Father God, it is a day to edify you, to glorify you, to point out how faithful, how awesome, how mighty you are, Father. And Father God, soon we will be with you, Father God. And Father God, we don't want to get to where in front of you to start knowing these things. We ought to know them now and walk in them now. So Father, we thank you. Pastor has prayed. This whole service is covered. The angels are here. The anointing is here. And the Word is here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So it is about the resurrection. Amen. Praise God. I love this picture. I was watching a documentary on the Shroud of Turin. And I have heard this before a few times throughout the years. The Shroud of Turin started getting notoriety around 1970. For those of you that don't know, the Shroud is an imprint of what they believe was Jesus. It's a cloth that has his image, and they have studied it inside and outside and so on. And some of the things that they are finding, and they are convinced now that it is the Shroud of the Lord, the shroud, the linen that they covered him before they laid him to rest inside the tomb. And one of the things that they have found is that the blood is still alive. Under intense scrutiny, and by skeptics and people that are studying the Word and God and so on, they are finding out that the blood on the shroud is still alive. And recently I saw one, a documentary on it, and they said that the power that raised Jesus from the dead was so powerful that on the shroud it has left a three-dimensional imprint of his body. That's impossible, people. The power was so fierce when it came down from heaven to raise him up through the power of the Holy Spirit, was so fierce that it left a three-dimensional imprint of the Lord. So praise God. This does not do the service at all. I am only going to attempt to bring some information to you, but nobody can capture what God has done for us. It is impossible. Every time we come up to a holy day, I ask the Lord, Lord, how am I going to affect the people with such great news? And all he tells me is, Eva, you're painting a picture. This year, you're going to do one more brush stroke. And they're going to say, oh, I see. You're beginning to see and understand. He said, no man can capture what we've done. It'll take an eternity for us to know. Amen. Praise God. So let's go for it. The resurrection. The cross. The start of the greatest and most miraculous victory for God and for all of man. It all started at the cross, people. But the Lord did tell me, you will find that religions major on the cross. They have Jesus on the cross. They have crucifixes with Jesus on the cross. And he said, but he's not there. The main focus of my people is to focus on the resurrection. But we come by way of the cross. You cannot avoid the cross. The cross was the beginning. Amen? Praise God. Now, I love this picture. I normally don't use paintings like this. But I found this, and it shows the Father holding his Son, offering him for us. He who did not spare his own Son, his only begotten Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You can say amen anytime you want. Amen. This was the beginning, people, of God's demonstration of his generosity, his love, his kindness, the pouring out of everything that he has on his people. And when you stand in prayer asking God for help, for wisdom, for peace, for healing, for whatever it is that you're asking God for, always remember this scripture, that the greatest thing God could have ever given us is Jesus. So everything else now is just icing on the cake. Never hesitate to go to your Father, who is your provision. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. But look at the picture of the Father. That's his beautiful Son, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. But he offered it up willingly, willingly. And the next scripture will show you how willing they are, the Trinity, to work on our behalf. Oh my God, I love my children so much, people. There's nothing I wouldn't do for them. If I can do it, it's theirs. I love them, I pray for them, I think of them, I care for them. And I am highly imperfect in my love still. Can you imagine God and God the Father, Jesus our Lord, and the Holy Spirit? They are attentive to us. You are important to him. I'm telling you, every single one of us is well known in heaven. Glory to God. Amen. And the mercy of God is that he looks at the good. He is looking at the good. Amen. If he always concentrated on when we take a misstep, we probably wouldn't be here anymore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's two things that kept Jesus going: to the cross, enduring the cross, and everything he went through. Number one, the joy that was set of rescuing you, delivering you, forgiving you completely. Say, I am forgiven.
I am forgiven.
Completely.
Completely.
That was, see, you trailed off on that. That's okay. Maybe by the end of today, you will say it like you really mean it. Amen. Listen, that's why I was almost weeping throughout the whole week, because as I was doing the studying and reminding myself of these scriptures, it really dawned on me that we stand acquitted, people. Amen. God's not looking at your record. He doesn't hold a record of wrongs. Amen. Amen? In 1 John 1:9, you go to him when you take a misstep, no matter how small, no matter how big, you go to him because he's already paid for everything you will ever do. But you must go to God. You must repent. That means start changing your ways. Amen. And he will always forgive you. Glory to God. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, you're forgiven. He made himself of no reputation. Here we have God, Jesus, all-powerful, Son of God. He is majesty and then some, authority, all of it. And he stripped himself. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant. Who would ever think? Imagine Prince Charles. He's one of the last few magistrates that we have. And imagine him leaving all of that, the wealth. Are you kidding me? They wouldn't. But leaving everything behind and then saying, you know what? From now on, I'm not going to be a king. I'm going to be the bondservant of the worst of the worst of the people on the earth. Times that, times a million of what Jesus did. And coming in the likeness of men, he was born in a manger surrounded by animals. Amen. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus is showing us and teaching us that when it comes to God, there's no such a thing as that's too much for me to do, Lord. We are to be obedient as he was obedient. I love this picture. It's a beautiful picture to me. Human disobedience necessitated Christ's sacrifice through the death on the cross. With his suffering being a substitutionary act for humanity's transgressions, there was a judicial requirement for blood to be shed. In the Old Testament, in the ancient days, they used to offer up a perfect ox, a heifer, a goat, even doves, because blood was required. Don't ask me how or who started that. I don't know if God actually started it and instituted the whole blood needs to be shed, or it's something that has always existed that we will find about when we go up there. But it required the spilling of blood. And according to the scripture and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. You've been purified with the blood of the Lamb. You've been washed clean with the blood of the Lamb. You know, you can live as a prisoner all you want, but the cell is open. There's no need to be in bondage to your sin. Ever, ever, no matter what it was. Trust me, I've done some doozy things in my lifetime. There's no one good. There's no one perfect. There's no one innocent. But when you turn again to God and you turn again to the cross, you can be forgiven. Amen. And I don't know about you, but being forgiven is a beautiful thing. It's a merciful thing. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. That means no freedom, no pardon, no deliverance, no forgiveness, and no liberty. The blood had to be shed for each and every one of us in here, for every person on the planet. It's there waiting for them, even people that hate God and refuse to walk with God. The blood is still there ready for them. It was I that nailed Jesus to the cross because of my sins. Say that with me. It was I. We have to realize that. You nailed him. Jesus had no sin. The cross didn't belong to him. We sent him to the cross. But he did it willingly. And he did it in joy. And he does not hold us under obligation. Jesus could show up right now and say, come on, guys, I died for you. What's wrong with you? But he doesn't. He just leaves it there. The gift is ready for you to take. Praise God. But I love this picture. Look at that. That man knows, I nailed you to this cross. Praise God. The sacrifice of Jesus didn't just cover you, it conquered for you. Amen. And having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them in it, Colossians 2:15. The lamb became the lion. He went to the cross as a lamb, and he came out of the womb of hell as a lion. Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now let's break this down. This is where he said, I want you to explain this clearly. In the Amplified, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, in your worldliness and manner of life, and boy, some of us had some worldliness and some of us kept a manner of life before Christ, God made you alive together with Christ, having freely forgiven you all your sins, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of legal demands which were in force. People, every time we committed a sin, it went on in this document that was being kept on us. Against you, the legal demands which were in force against you and which were hostile to you. And this certificate he has set aside and completely removed by nailing it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil operating against you, before you got born again, you didn't stand a chance. Those demons, those principalities, those powers of evil were working on you 24/7. He made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross for you. In hell, in the midst of people, I have an inkling of what hell is. And in the middle of foul demons that are massive, principalities, powers that rule entire nations, he made a procession, had basically a parade in heaven when he was able, in hell, when he was able to hold up the fact that God approved of his sacrifice. Jesus did it right. And in hell, God pronounced him approved. And when that happened, Jesus went to town rejoicing and having a phenomenal dance in hell. I can see him doing it, people. Not for him. Not because, oh, look what I have done. I did it. God, I'm so glad you approved, but I knew I was going to do it. No, it was for us. He understood what it meant for each and every one of us. And he had a little party down there in the midst of hell, showing the devil, you did not win in Jesus' name. Amen. The power of his death on the cross, taking this scripture apart, I was dead because of my transgressions and my lifestyle. Before Christ, you were dead. You were definitely dead spiritually. When does that start? Somebody asked me. It's called the age of accountability, and I tend to believe it. When a child is born, because people will say, but a newborn babe, they haven't done anything wrong. How can they go to hell? You're absolutely right. But it's called the age of accountability. In Proverbs, it says that even a child is known if he is good or evil. And so understand that there comes a point in every single one of us, that moment. Oh, I was telling you that a child, as he is growing up, it may happen when they're 4, it may happen when they're 5, it may happen when they're 6, when they truly know that what they're doing is wrong. It's an accountability, it's a age of accountability where they realize, oh my God, I'm about to hit my sister really hard because I don't like her. And at that moment, knowing that it is wrong to do that, and they proceed to do it, that's when they die spiritually. Number 2, but now I have been made alive with him. You are not dead anymore. Yeah. That's why we urge you to be excited about your life and your walks and the blessings of God, the promises of God, is because you are not dead anymore. And we ought not to be walking around as dead men walking. We ought to be joyful people. There's a scripture that literally says, be ready to give an answer to those who ask you about the hope that's in you. Amen. We ought to be excited. We ought to be different from the world. Amen. They are dead. We are not. Amen. I am no longer dead spiritually. You are alive. Say, I am alive.
I am alive.
Now say it like you mean it.
I am alive.
Amen, people. Yes. I am as alive spiritually as the risen Christ. You have his life now. His life has been imparted into you. Jesus is alive and bright. He is full of energy, life, love. He is all these beautiful forces. That's how we are supposed to be now. There's got to be a difference between us and the world, people. If you never change and you never walk around in joy, not because, oh, I got a brand new car, or, oh, I got a promotion at work, or, oh, I'm making more money now. Those are blessings, yes, rejoice, thank God. But if you're not excited about your new life and where you are headed at this moment, you're walking around as a dead person. That's not fair to the King of Kings, who came to give you his life, Zoe life, John 10:10. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, excessively, in quantity and quality. Amen? Amen? I am as alive spiritually as the risen Christ through the power of the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And because Christ has forgiven me all of my sins, you are alive. You're not under your sin anymore. Through Christ, I became sinless, forgiven, made righteous, and holy. If Jesus is your Lord, you are all these beautiful things. I am holy. I am righteous. Amen? Praise God. This is such good news for me. Number three, through his blood, he has wiped out, obliterated. He obliterated. That's what it literally means. He wiped out. He destroyed, left no trace of the handwriting of all my record of wrongs and transgressions. Two people, past, present, and future. There are sins you're going to commit in the future that he already paid for. The record of my sins was my opponent. That record, it's a legal document, and it held us bound. The record of my sins was my opponent and adversary. When we would try to be good, it would flare up. Yeah, but look at who you are. Look at what you just did. We couldn't shake it, people. We were under condemnation. I was without hope and under the sentence of my wrongs for all eternity. Think about that, people. For this record, this handwriting, that documented all my sins and transgressions since my beginnings. He has taken it out of my way. God removed your own stumbling block. You are free to walk around. You are a free person. He has taken it out of my way when he was nailed to the cross. How did my sin and my wickedness end up on the cross? Because as he was nailed to it, he literally became my sin. The worst pedophile, the worst murderer, the worst violent person. All of that is what Jesus became. He became our sin. The hatred, the bitterness, all of it, he became. He became my scapegoat. A scapegoat is a person unfairly blamed and punished for the faults, mistakes, or misdeeds of another. You. Jesus was punished for you. Because the wages of sin is death, Romans 8. So he had to remove your sin so that you would not be under the penalty of death anymore. It commonly describes innocent parties, in this case God, Father, and especially God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It commonly describes innocent parties suffering for actions they did not commit. Jesus suffered for things he never did. He has paid for the worst person people, I don't know, men down. I don't know if you can fathom who would be the worst of the worst of the worst person on the planet. Demon-possessed, full of sin and rage, and yet God took all of that and put it on Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made Christ, who knew no sin. Christ never sinned. He completely dodged that bullet. He made Christ, who knew no sin, to judicially, legally be sin on my behalf, so that in him I would become the righteousness of God. That is, I would be made acceptable to him and placed in a right relationship with him by his gracious loving kindness. We, in the early days, Pastor and I would go witnessing everywhere. We'd go to the beaches, we'd go to Hollywood, Sunset Boulevard. You name it, we did as much as we went to concerts, like with the Grateful Dead and all these weird bands, I don't know. But we would go witnessing, catching all the people as they were coming out. You know, you can't ruin their little buzz because they're going in to see their favorite little group, you know. So we waited till they were done, and then we would witness to them. And I remember one time I was ministering to, like, there was about 9 Mexican guys speaking Spanish, and I went up to them. I said, "Lord, they're your people. You created them. I'm going to go talk to them." And I started talking to them, and they were all drunk. They were at the beach. They were having a great time, you know, and they were all drunk and, señorita, you know, and all this stuff, you know, and I'm sitting there going, "No, my husband and I are here passing out tracts to let you know about Jesus." And they would all say, "Oh, yeah, yeah, we know Jesus. Yeah, yeah." And people, I talked to them for about 10 minutes, and by the time I was done, they were all sober, all of them. And out of the 9, 8 of them got born again. And the way I got them born again, well, through the power of the Holy Spirit. I didn't get them born again. But what I'm saying is the way I reached them is I told them, I said, they said, "Well, we believe in Jesus. Why do we have to do this?" And I said, "Because have you ever tried to be good for one day?" And they're like, "Yeah." And how did that go? And then I asked them, "Have you tried to be good for an hour? Just try your best to be good for an hour." "Yeah. Isn't it hard? It's almost impossible, right?" "Yeah." I said, "Well, that means you need Jesus. Because none of us can be good enough and do enough to get to heaven. At our best, our righteousness, our self-righteousness is as dirty rags to God." Amen. It's got to be done through him. Through him. He took on my sin. He became my sin. So when he, my sin, was nailed to the cross, my sins and even the very record of all my sins were transferred onto him in the great exchange. He became my sin. He took it away from me. And he exchanged his righteousness, his innocence, his holiness to me, for me. Five, when he nailed all my sins to the cross, he cunningly and simultaneously disarmed all the principalities and powers that held me captive. He took away the right. You no longer have a right to touch my people. They are delivered. My blood will cleanse my people, and you can no longer hold them captive all the days of their life. He disarmed them. He grabbed the writings that were against us. I was a slave to them because of my sin and my spiritual death. There was nothing I could do to save myself. I was their slave. Before you got born again, you were a slave of the devil. In fact, Jesus at one point says, "You are of your father, the devil." We have to be cleaned. We have to be washed. Walking through this planet, it's like a landmine of sin and temptation and lust. I live daily in their power and in the forces of sin, death, disease, destruction, darkness, and hopelessness. But Christ, my Savior, covertly carried out the secret plan of God for my redemption, for my freedom, and my rescue from the forces that held me in total bondage to the curse of the law and Satan, my enemy. After leaving my sin there in the womb of the earth, and I was finally declared righteous, he paraded his... Can you hear me? After leaving my sin there in the womb of the earth, and I was finally declared righteous, he paraded his victory over death, sin, and the grave in the face of the most treacherous, evil powers of hell itself. He rejoiced there in the womb of the earth because his sacrifice was approved by the Father, and I was completely set free. When Jesus conquered the devil after the 3 days, people, and his sacrifice was approved by God, it's been waiting for us from that moment on. As people have come to the earth, they're born, their sacrifice, their atonement is there waiting for them. Your salvation was waiting for you all along. From the forces that held me in total bondage to the curse of the law and Satan, my enemy. After leaving my sin there in the womb of the earth, and I was finally declared righteous, he paraded his victory over death, sin, and the grave in the face of the most treacherous, evil powers of hell itself. And they couldn't touch him. They could not touch him. He rejoiced there in the womb of the earth because his sacrifice was approved by the Father, and I was completely set free. Holiness triumphed over wickedness there in hell itself, and Satan's power was broken over me in that moment. Amen. Satan's power is broken over you.
Amen.
The curse of the law, sickness, disease, death, hell, those things have been taken away from you.
Amen.
You have been redeemed.
Amen.
1 Peter 1:3. Blessed, which means grateful, praised, and adored, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant and boundless mercy has caused us to be born again. That is, to be reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose. And part of your purpose, people, part of the biggest part, can somebody check the air conditioner? It's hot. Sorry. The anointing hits me and then I just... His abundant and boundless mercy has caused us to be born again. I heard it snap.
Yeah, you're okay.
Has caused us to be born again, that is to be reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose. Part of your purpose is to be a good witness of the love of God.
Amen.
You are to be reflecting the love of God.
Amen.
That this is why I am a born again Christian. It's because of everything that God did for me. Amen? I think, and the more I grow, the more I learn, I think it's an abomination for us to walk around depressed, sad, lost, confused, angry, lustful, all of that. We have been made new.
Amen.
Why are we acting like the old man? Amen? Praise God. It was through his abundant and boundless mercy that we got born again. Now we live as believers with an ever-living hope that is Christ was raised from the dead. So we will partake of the same resurrection in the very near future. Glory to God forevermore. People, you're going to be resurrected.
Amen.
Just as Christ, God resurrected, he was the first. He was the first to become resurrected. And you will be resurrected when? Thank you, Jeff. Someone's been paying attention. It is finished. When Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross, he used the Greek word tetelestai. This wasn't a cry of defeat. It was a word found on ancient, they found this word, people, on ancient tax receipts, meaning paid in full. Our debt of sin was cleared. It was paid off completely by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Your debt is paid. You are a free person from your own self. The resurrection. Oh, sorry. I love his hand reaching out. That's going to be him when he calls us to him. Glory to God. Why do you seek the living among the dead? I think we forget that Christ isn't dead anymore. We walk around like we have no hope. We walk around like there's no future for us, like there's no covenant with us. Why are we seeking for the living among the dead, people? He's not in the tomb anymore.
Amen.
He's up there taking care of business, getting the marriage supper ready, getting everything ready for the rapture. But we walk around like he's still in the tomb. Amen? He's telling you, I'm not dead anymore. I am alive forevermore. The birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ on the cross were all for the purpose of the resurrection from the dead one day. Everything Christ did, people, being born into this miserable world, his ministry, all of it, the death on the cross was all leading for our place in the resurrection. That's what he was doing the entire time. Through Christ, God brought us back into sonship, into an eternity with him in the heavens when we experience the power of resurrection just as Christ did. You're going to experience that power, people.
Amen.
That's why you want to be ready. You want to be ready for the rapture. Listen, there's going to be a whole lot of people wanting to go to heaven when they see the rapture happening. You prove that you want to go to heaven now by being ready, being excited. We're going to be resurrected. This foul little body that gives us so much trouble, that is addicted to Twinkies, for heaven's sakes. Hot tamales. Am I giving myself away? Oh, my goodness. My favorite, Dan and I, we are afflicted with the addiction of circus peanuts. If any of you know what they are, Yes, we are being delivered day by day. And Marky likes marshmallows. So we're going to be delivered from this body that loves that kind of stuff. Amen. We're going to be walking in the resurrection of the power of God. Philippians 3:10, and this, so that I may know him experientially, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him, understanding the remarkable wonders of his person more completely. That's why God is removing all the stops now and why we're preaching the way we're preaching, because we don't have much time to really know him and get to know him. You know what he told the lazy virgins that mocked God? And, you know, even, you know, two-thirds of the body of Christ go to church, and they're not into church. They just sit there because they have to. You know what he told the foolish virgins? He said, depart from me. I never knew you. And they were virgins. They were quote-unquote Christians. They didn't care about God. They didn't want to know God. He wants you to know him. He is precious. He is beautiful. Right, Pat? I mean, when we run into God, man, it's like, Father, God, you are so good, so kind. They're experiencing miracles after miracle after miracle. Amen. Get to know who God is. The day you do, you will change. And the day you do, you will walk as his child. Happy, excited, joyful, ready to go any minute. Amen? Amen. Praise God. The remarkable wonders of his person more completely, and in that same way experience the power of his resurrection, which overflows and is active in believers. You know, part of us getting healing, I believe, is part of the resurrection. We're being raised off the deathbed. We're being raised off the sick bed. We're being relieved of our sickness and disease, people. And that I may share the fellowship of his sufferings. And yes, we do have to share in that. Listen, as a Christian, you've got a target on your back. The devil's going to test you to see if it's real. Amen? Some of you, he doesn't even have to test you. He already knows, they're not real. He's like, we got him. It's okay. Oh, my gosh. And that I may share in the fellowship of his sufferings by being continually conformed inwardly into his likeness, even to his death, dying as he did. Now, are we supposed to die? Do every one of us have to go on the cross? No. We die to the old man. We die to our selfishness. We die to our sin. We say to ourselves, no more. This was it. I'm done, Father. Help me, Father, to live as your child. In Christ, if Christ is our example, even unto death, then how did Christ die? In faith and courage, in total obedience, trusting in God, that he would not allow his soul to remain in hell, but that God would raise him up on the third day, by which he would then qualify to sit at the right hand of God's throne forever and ever. And people, our hope is that the rapture is going to happen. Jesus was hoping to be resurrected out of hell. And your hope is to believe that Jesus has not forgotten you. You will be raised from the dead. You will be, those people that have gone to the grave, oh my gosh, people, they were hoping in the rapture. They were hoping in their own resurrection. That's where our resurrection lies. Amen? Praise God. Amen. If Christ is our example, okay. Revelations 26. Blessed, happy, prosperous, and to be admired, and holy is the person who takes part in the first resurrection. I think that's the rapture. Look at this. We will be happy, prosperous, admired, and holy if we are ready and we prepare. Amen. Over these, the second death, which is eternal separation from God and the lake of fire, has no power or authority, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him 1,000 years and forever and ever in heaven. Amen? Amen. Praise God, people. But we are to be happy, prosperous, and to be admired. To be admired. One day when the rapture happens, and if any of you are left behind, I want you to admire me because I was a believer. I was a true believer. Admire me and know that I am happy. I am blessed walking with my Lord. Amen. I remember one time I was telling him, in early days, we had this ministry at UCI on campus while I was still going to school there. And I told the Lord I was weeping because he was just talking to me and I was going to teach that night in the little, actually it was a large Bible study. It was probably double this size. And it was turned over to Bill and I, so we took over it. And I was telling the Lord, Lord, you're going to have to forgive me. But the first time I ever see you, I am going to run as fast as I can and throw my arms around you in gratitude. And he said, no, Eva, I will run to you. Jesus loves us, people, in a love that is so pure. Ephesians 2:6, and he raised us up together with him when we believed. Do you believe?
Yes.
Can we call you a believer?
Yes.
So you're going to walk around as a true believer?
Yes.
Happy, joyful, overcoming?
Yes.
And seated us with him in the heavenly places. Because we are in Christ Jesus. He has raised us up. He already counts us there. He counts us in heaven, people. To him, it's a done deal. Amen? Let's make sure that we get on that bus. Praise God. Hebrews 4:14. Inasmuch then as we believers have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hold fast your confession. Jesus is coming and I am ready. Father, come quickly, Lord. Amen? Jesus, and already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith and cling tenaciously to our absolute trust in him as Savior. Cling to him every day. Run to him. Hold on to him. You don't want to be caught, separated from him when that trumpet rings. I believe it was Carlos, I'm not sure, Carlos Rojo, sent me a clip that I'm going to play for you very soon. And it's a preacher talking about the rapture. And he has a link that has a trumpet blowing. God, my entire body had chills and it was like electricity going through me because he said, what are you going to do when you hear it? Will you be ready? We're going to hear that trumpet, people. And that's my hope. Call me nuts. Call me crazy. But I'm going. I'm going. How do you think Noah looked to the people of that time? What an idiot. Oh my God, this guy is like 250,000 years old and he's building this huge, huge boat and we're living in the desert for heaven's sakes. He's lost it. And God compares the days of Noah to our day of people like me and Pastor screaming out to you, he's coming, get ready. Noah was telling him, the rain is coming, the rain is coming, get ready. Nobody listened but his family. The mark of the Lord Jesus Christ upon his people. I want you to read this with me because I want you to make it personal. Please. By
his wounds I am healed. By his love I am saved. Lord, thank you for carrying the cross I could never carry. By your sacrifice I am redeemed. By your goodness, I am forgiven. By your grace, I am saved. In your endless mercy, I find strength. In your light, my darkness fades, and I walk in clarity. In your word, I find the way. In your presence is my peace. In your promises, my future. twinkling of an eye, never see corruption, death, destruction, and disease ever again, but rather find eternal salvation, living and abiding with the only true God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Praise you, Jesus. He carried the cross, people, that we were never going to be able to carry. Revelation 3:11, I am coming quickly. Hold tight what you have so that no one will take your crown by leading you to renounce the faith. Don't let anything pull you away. You young people that are going to college, you have to fight. They are programmed by the world. And they're going to, I tell you, when I was going to UCI, I had to take an upper division class, and it was women in social movement. They completely convinced me, after having been a nun and walking with God since I can remember, they convinced me that the Bible was written by man in order to control women. That was when the feminist movement was full on. And people, I had to grapple with that. God, is this, am I delusional? Am I believing something that's never going to happen? Until God started doing miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle once we got born again. We have seen the most remarkable miracles, people. You wouldn't even believe it, how real God is. He's more real than what we're going through. But look at this picture. He's coming. He's coming. This thing is winding down and he's excited. Be ready. Be ready. There's a scripture that says that, Pastor, what's that scripture where it says that, wrong timing. There's a scripture that says that he is coming for those who loved his appearing. You have to love his appearing. You have to love the fact that the rapture is going to happen. Amen? Amen? Praise God. People, you have to love it. If you're just, oh, maybe it's real, maybe it's not, please get excited. Amen. Get excited. At any moment, be ready. We have a little gathering after the service today with my little family. And I would love it if he came in the middle of that. I don't care. I don't care to stay here 1 second longer. You got to be like that too. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I urge you. King of kings and Lord of lords forever and ever. Amen. Look at your king. We don't know what he looks like. I always tell him when I find these pictures, there's one guy, his name is Paul Hansen, and he's really huge into the whole Shroud of Turin thing, and that's where he's getting a lot of, and he has come up with a picture based on the shroud of what Jesus might look like, and he looks very different from the pictures that we have here. And I always tell him, Lord, I don't care what you look like, I love you. What you look like does not matter. What matters, this picture, any other picture, what matters is what he has done for us. Amen. Praise God.